Remember, I got to do the read at some point.
So. Welcome back to Speaking Millennial. I am Bill Spadia, at Bill Spadia, here with my co-hosts, Jessica Nutt, at Chasing Jess Nutt, and the one, the only, the great Jay Black, with no Twitter handle. He doesn't use it, so I'm not going to plug it.
I don't use Twitter because my therapist said, don't do things that make you unhappy. And Twitter makes me unhappy, and the rest of America should follow my lead.
There you go. See, it's like the title of the segment. We have it here almost in the first minute.
But you can tweet us and we will tell Jay.
Yeah, whatever you want to say, yes. Say to them. And I'll be unhappy in person based on what you tell me. And it'll be more personable. My anger and disappointment at what Twitter has to say will be human and not online.
And I'll Snapchat it so everyone can see.
I don't know what Jay's Snapchat is.
He doesn't know what that is.
Right? I'm a grown man.
We have a very special guest today. A non-millennial, but a guy that can speak millennial. Adam Geller. I should have introduced you, Adam, as the great Adam Geller, pollster, former pollster of the very popular, now at 15%, Governor Christie, and Kim Guadagno, the lieutenant governor, and, of course, President Donald Trump.
I'm not familiar with this President Trump you speak of.
It is so good to be here. First of all, I'm not a millennial. I don't know what a podcast necessarily is. And all I know, Jay Black, it's great to meet you. I know Twitter makes you unhappy, but... You know, when you tweet something, the word tweet just kind of makes me happy. Like, if you don't use Twitter, don't you just want to at least say, I tweeted? I mean, that's a happy word.
So people at home can't see Mr. Geller, but you look like, you know, I don't want to say, you know, the kind of guy that knows how to use a toolbox, but you look like the kind of guy that knows how to use a toolbox. And to see you delicately with a smile go, tweet, it's creating a kind of dissonance I can't quite get across to the people at home.
Well, the great Dennis Malloy saw me the other day. I was in the studio and he said, you don't look like a pollster, you look like a Teamster.
Yeah.
And I said, you're right. Mr. So-and-so, I want to talk to you about your numbers.
Yeah. You look like on a movie set, you'd be the guy I'd be most afraid of.
No, yeah. but you know what? You should.
Is it the bald head? Is it the goatee? Or is it just the sheer size and strength of Adam Geller? He's a big guy.
I'm a baby to begin with, so I would find a PA who is like 22 and go, could you tell him that I want more Diet Coke? Because I don't want to tell him I want more Diet Coke.
And I'm such a wimp, I would go, oh my God, is he mad that I didn't give him the Diet Coke yet?
Just tweet it.
Yeah, just tweet at jblackcomedy.com. No, don't tweet it.
Yeah, what is your Twitter handle, Adam?
My Twitter handle is at Adam H. Geller, G-E-L-L-E-R, okay. At Adam H. Geller.
You're decent on Twitter. I'm not going to say you're great.
Now, what do you mean by it? What's your definition of decent?
My definition of a decent tweeter are people who retweet me.
Oh yeah. I definitely retweet you a lot. I mean, that's one of the things I do. See, I don't tweet enough original content. I think I end up retweeting everything and everybody. And so I don't give myself decent grades for that. You know what I mean? Like, I should have more original things to say rather than just retweeting everybody all day.
I don't necessarily agree.
Tell me.
You don't want to reinvent the wheel. If somebody has something good to say, you want to give them credit for it and share it with your followers.
But I would disagree with putting into your Twitter handle, retweets do not mean endorsements, which I feel is like we get that. You don't need to put that in there. Just, if you're retweeting and you're putting a comment on something, I think I should be able to figure out it's not an endorsement. So I don't want to use the P word.
I don't say that, mainly because I retweet things I agree with. So you could, I don't know if it's technically an endorsement.
But no, you have retweeted people who criticize you.
I retweet the haters. You know. Right. Yes.
But I think that smart people know that you're not endorsing the haters.
Do you think?
I mean, you're important enough to have like a verified check, which is pretty cool, but I don't know that you're important enough to think, he's endorsing this person.
It's a good point.
Yeah,
and there's an insult in there somewhere. I'm going to have to decipher the millennial speak that I just
heard.
You
are very, so important. But I don't know that it's
like this important.
Oh, this
I'm
is
like
an endorsement. Bill Spadia has endorsed.
Now, I want to say this. Now, Bill says I'm decent.
There was almost no need for that.
I'm not great on Twitter, you say, but I'm decent. But I want to say something, and I'm not looking to brag. I'm not a bragging kind of guy. I may only be decent on Twitter, but I think I'm really awesome on Facebook.
You're very good on Facebook.
I think I'm great on Facebook.
Here's the challenge of Facebook. People talk too much. We need boundaries.
This is coming from a talk show host.
Yes, true.
Well, he's a professional talker. He doesn't like amateur talkers.
He just wants people that listen.
That's right. I just want people to listen. So okay, that makes sense. I now have a parody account that's out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which here's the funny thing.
That you're running.
So, well, I blocked him.
Oh, yeah?
I did. Guess who follows the parody account?
Who?
I found it last night.
Jessica Nutt?
Jessica Nutt follows the parody account.
I was laughing.
And then says, hey, your parody guy's pretty funny. Like, this was funny. Did you see this?
Okay,
yeah. The biggest betrayal.
Bill Spadia, but the Twitter account is spelled Spadia, S-P-A-D-I-A. And what really got me the other night was a picture of a really cute blonde girl crying, saying, join me tomorrow, I'm exposing this libtard obstructing First Amendment breaking baby and washing down some hashtag pork roll with hashtag craft beer.
Oh, well, that's, you know,
I do love craft beer.
And you love pork roll.
I do love pork roll.
Yeah. And you do love making blonde women cry. I mean, I feel like this is all three things.
That was Jay's takeaway. The blondes are crying. That's it.
Well, if they're libtards. But you have never said the word libtard.
No, I don't use that word.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, it's a little bit, you know.
My audience is actually skews middle, centrist middle, and probably more Democrats than Republicans.
Well, look at, you know.
My callers are more Democrats.
Well, first of all, you are, I think, charitably down the middle politically. I mean, you're not full of compliments for our current governor.
I'm not a big fan. That.
No, no.
He's also not a huge fan of mine.
He's huge.
This we gather.
Just not a huge fan of you.
He's not a huge fan of dieting.
But no. But the governor is a friend of mine. I'm very close with him. I support him. As you know.
Yes. You're in his orbit, so to speak.
I'm definitely a fan of Governor Christie, and I think sometimes we lose the fact that. Were it not for Chris Christie, we could have had John Corzine. Lord knows what would have happened in the state, but I digress.
Could have been worse.
The point that I want to come back to
why Adam Geller is a pro is he gets a plug in. Like, and he did it without a breath, so there was nothing I could really
I'm going to tell you.
Did you notice that?
That is the kind of, that's going to get you on CNN, on Fox, whereas I just picture Megyn Kelly trying to cut you off and being like, I can't.
Right. The PA won't allow it. But I want to say, so I think that your audience definitely skews middle, because I don't think that somebody would perceive you as necessarily a conservative talk show host or a liberal talk show host. I mean, you kind of play it down the middle. You compliment the Republicans when you think that they should get credit, but you certainly bash them when you don't. So, I mean, to the fake account guy, he's not saying libtard, dude. Tighten it up a little bit. Yeah, you know,
right. Should tighten it up.
Give me a little. You know,
doesn't it feel nice to have a friend on the podcast?
Yes, it does. As a matter of fact, yes, Jessica, you have pointed that out correctly.
Yeah,
it's usually, you know, sometimes they gang up.
Yeah, but I don't even know what a podcast is. Let's go to the phones.
I'd like to speak for a second to right wing Twitter. I'll talk to left wing Twitter as well. But like the libtard, that word, cuck. Is another word.
Yeah.
Crying special snowflake. All of, like, these are all signifiers.
I kind of like the snowflake thing. You know why? Because both sides use it.
Yeah, but and they're both awful. Both sides are awful. If you're using cuck, snowflake, or libtard, you're off my page. I can't
talk to you. I would be off your page because I call my daughter Snow. I'm like, take it easy, Snowflake.
But that's okay. That's you're dealing with a little girl that you love. That's okay. If you're doing to it,
they're mean to me.
Why is Snowflake
negative? Teenage girls and they're mean to me. So
you know, Snowflakes are unique.
Snowflakes are unique.
I love snow.
They're pretty.
Snow days.
They melt.
Right.
Snow days are great.
Right. Snow days are awesome.
Snow days are wonderful. Yes.
So why is Snowflake a negative?
Well,
how did that happen?
They're saying that they're making fun of the idea of safe spaces, special, unique snowflakes that are very,
but
fragile.
But you don't like the safe space either.
No, I don't. See,
let me quote Jay Black for a moment.
I would think Jay would like safe spaces.
You think?
Yeah.
No, you heard him, though. I think it was like the first couple episodes.
Not a big
fan. We talked about bullying.
Yeah. No.
I need a little bit. Just a little hint.
Listen.
A little hint of bullying
is okay. I've
told
this story before. Okay. I don't know if I've told it on the podcast, but I was performing at an art college in New York City. And midway through my show, a guy walked in wearing a three-piece suit with no shirt, no shoes. Like, it was the vest
and
the jacket.
A suit with no shirt.
And a straw hat.
Note to self.
Okay. And a straw hat.
Oh, my God.
And I remember looking at him and going, this is why America needs bullies. You are the product of no bullying in high school. No one armbarred you up against the locker and said, cut it out.
Right.
Don't wear that.
Don't stop being an asshole. put on a regular outfit.
There we go. What 9 minutes
if we need
9 minutes to the E rating. And I'm not saying
like the bullying that like you stop short of them jumping off a bridge, but at some point someone needs to say to you, stop dressing like such a jerk.
So we should coin a phrase. I think it's like controlled bullying.
A controlled bullying.
A controlled bullying.
It's like a control fire.
Yes.
To stop the forest fire. So I love it.
But I have a follow up question on this story because this is a fascinating story to me. So you're on stage. You see this guy walk in. Do your instincts kick in that you're going to start asking him some questions that you're going to?
So here's the deal. At this art college, because it's New York City and because it's an art college, the idea of bringing in a white male stand-up comedian doesn't super play to that audience. So they gave pizza. Free pizza was the thing that they were doing for everybody to come in.
So they came out in droves.
So it was funny. I was up there performing and everybody's just walking by, grabbing the pizza and walking out. And before I interacted with this guy, I wanted to see if he'd sit down.
Right.
And Shoeless Joe Jackson just walked by, grabbed the pizza, and walked out. So I didn't really get a chance to speak with him. But my instinct did kick in to say, this is why we need bullying.
Why did you call him Shoeless Joe? Yeah. I'm a fan of Shoeless Joe. Well, I think Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose should both be in the Hall of Fame.
He's shoeless.
He just happened to be shoeless.
And I wanted to give a reference that was even our baby boomer generation.
The millennials
might be like,
don't know that, though.
Oh, boy, that's an old one, Jake.
Millennials don't know Shoeless Joe. Yeah.
But if you would have called him shirtless because he wasn't wearing, shirtless.
That would have been better.
That's shirtless Janet Jackson.
You could have stood. The best thing to do in that case is, of course, to pick on the guy when he's not even there to fight back, but not that they would fight back against a professional comic. Lord knows that that's just
he would have started a protest. That's what he would have done. He wouldn't have heckled back, but he would have been like, I'm gonna start a Tumblr called Don't Hire Jay Black. Wow. And there's gonna be gifts on it.
See, I can imagine, though, a guy walking in to a restaurant or a bar, maybe not an art college, but, with a big hat and a suit with no shirt. But it almost seems like that's almost a badass look. Like, I'd be scared to mess with somebody.
Well, it would depend on where. Now, if you encounter this guy, let's say, I don't know, Alabama.
Sure.
Yeah, he could be a ringleader of a whole group of shirtless, suit-wearing, straw hat guys.
He just murdered a banker.
Yeah.
Okay. And took his clothes. That's what happened. He, Terminator-style, took
if
the clothes
of the dead
banker.
If it's Ozone Park, Queens, he might know a guy who knows a guy. You may not want to say anything.
In Jersey, a little different.
But if you're a sculpture major, I'm not 100% worried about you. I think I'm going to be able to take you. I'm not a strong guy, but I'm not necessarily worried about it.
I don't know. I think there's some athleticism I'm seeing here.
Now this is what marks you as a Trump pollster, because you obviously can't tell at all based on looking at me.
Your thighs are looking full.
I don't want to overstate it, but I'm going to say 65 pounds.
48 pounds.
And some hair.
Well, let's not bring up hair.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's back hair she's speaking of.
Oh, I see.
It's been falling out in droves.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's fantastic.
The only drug I'm allowed to do is endorphins.
Okay.
And so I've been focused on getting as much of that as possible.
Right.
So I go and work out. And
this just hit me. What? I mean, starving yourself and then being on antidepressant medication, that's like the best of both worlds, because you get skinny and you're never sad.
That's right. I'm happy.
Wow.
That's a great idea. All of a sudden,
Jessica's got like a millennial plan now.
That's right.
Every time I get hungry almost every day, and if you don't eat, you get upset.
If I may say to you and to any listener that might be within range of this podcast, following me for mental or physical health advice is probably the worst thing you can do.
That is
the shirtless, shoeless suit.
Jessica is now following you.
Yeah, no, don't. Right,
you said, but you mentioned endorphins. I mean, can we get a prescription to these endorphin pills you speak of? Or
No, you just got to run for 15 minutes.
Okay.
And your body, because it thinks it's dying, releases endorphins.
So I knew a guy that once smoked a human adrenal gland, and he swore that it helped him with weight loss.
That's disgusting.
Where did he get the gland?
You don't ask questions when somebody's telling you that this is what they do.
Like,
you just go,
it's not my gland.
I ask follow-up questions.
Yeah, I think you need to ask, that's like when Igor comes back with the brain. You say, hey, Igor, just me to you, where'd you pick up the brain?
I went the whole opposite way. I just go, you know what, I'm more into pituitary glands. No, thank you.
Yeah.
So good segue to our sponsor. Vinny Brand, Stress Factory. Get your tickets at Stress Factory. StressFactory.com. Here's why it's a segue.
I know exactly where you're going. I'm going to guess it in my head.
Go ahead.
Adrenal gland goes when you're stressed. It releases adrenaline when you're stressed. So if you're at a Stress Factory, that's basically what an adrenal gland is. Boom. Connection.
Nice. Okay. Here's where my connection was. I had Adam and Vinny on the radio show, which when this drops, it'll be a couple weeks ago, right? Jessica, were you a witness to this battle?
There was a bet.
There was a bet. Go ahead.
And poor Adam was not was never invited to the original dinner, but had to like sit down and watch this whole bet take place.
We had a bet.
Okay, so Vinny and Bill Spadia were having this exciting conversation about going to Ocean Prime, and they picked the date and they were thrilled about it, and me and Jill Myra were sitting in the production room laughing about who would cancel first, because you guys were so excited that this dinner was going to happen and talking about the food, and we were like, okay, they're going to cancel, do you want to bet me they're not? And I'm like, no, I'll bet that Bill cancels and you'll bet Vinny cancels. So the other day I asked her if she wanted to Starbucks when I was on my way to the radio, and she said, I owe you a Starbucks because we had a bet. And she pulls out this card that had been sitting there for like a month.
She wrote out the bet.
It had been sitting on her desk for like a good month. So we sorted it out. What was it? June 2nd. Bill rescheduled and said, I'm going to have dinner with Adam at the Stress Factory instead of going to dinner.
So it was my fault.
Yeah. No, that's...
Now, technically speaking,
Geller ruins everything, I guess.
It was your fault. And then we rescheduled.
You're buying us coffee. We were betting a latte at Starbucks.
Aren't you buying? Did you not bring coffee today?
Don't you owe
Jessica coffee?
If I owe you coffee, I'm more than happy to pay up. It's going to have a bunch of Kahlua in it, but that's besides the point.
So,
Adam, there's a version of me that would have loved you, and that version is no longer here. But putting booze in anything was what I did.
No, you don't drink at all.
No, I don't drink at all.
Are you ever going to drink again?
No.
Can I just say one thing, Jack? First of all, I love this version of you, but give that other version of you my very best.
Now, you know, the issue is, Bill, the level of Wellbutrin that I'm on. If I stop doing that, I don't think I can.
He's on so much that he doesn't know how hungry he is.
That's right.
Is that what it is? It's the balance of Wellbutrin and
the other day,
hunger.
I found myself, I have a little...
Because you're a happy guy.
I have a little chihuahua. I had eaten 3/4 of the chihuahua before I even realized what was happening. And I was like, this Wellbutrin, it's that good.
You know, Spadia is going to start asking you, how did you prepare it? Did you have hot sauce? Or
exactly.
It's funny because I have a little dog and I always think people want to kick it immediately, but... never crossed my mind that they would want to eat it.
Well, they're not on a high level of psychotropic drugs like I am, Jessica.
Why have we not seen Gigi in a while? Gigi the dog used to come to the studio.
Oh, yeah?
We got new carpets.
Oh, we had a ban on dogs, except Lola.
Yeah.
We have one dog now.
You put a ban on dogs? Why?
Well, I didn't, but our executive producer decided because we got new carpet that no dog should come in. Here's what happens. The dogs come in and they poop.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what dogs do.
Well, they still reindeer.
But by the same token, I mean, don't humans do that? Something, you know, you want to mark your territory and
we ask them not to do it on the carpet.
I've apologized in the past for my appearances where things have gotten a little out of control. I just said I was just trying to mark my territory.
Yeah, I've seen some of those chasers, and I'm pretty sure a couple of them have pooped on the floor. I'm pretty sure.
It's possible. We
not naming names, but yeah.
Speaking of, we got to do a read here, Bill. This is I'm very excited.
We have,
yay!
Yeah, we
all
have.
Right, let's do that.
Code to win. This is you can win a pair of Beats by Dr. Dre headphones from Speaking Millennial in New Jersey 101.5. Enter at nj101.5.com/contests. Find the box for episode 10. Episode 12.
Wait, what is this? 12?
This is episode 12. I'm positive.
Adam was going to be 13,
but
we
12.
Had to bump Steve Hofstetter
next
to 14.
That's right. This
because
is episode
we didn't have the phones working.
12 of Speaking Millennials, so and enter the code No Muffin. One word, No Muffin.
Really? That's how you. Wait a minute. Last time was Hungry Bill. Now it's No Muffin.
Why did the muffin joke come back?
Talk to Hockman about this. This is not me. This is Hockman. No Muffin for a chance to win. Stay tuned. We'll release more codes for more chances in episode. Well, no, this is episode 12. So you're listening to the last time that we're doing this. Possibly 13,
this
14.
This episode has a number.
That's right. It's episode 12. And it's No Muffin. And also look for codes in this month's episode of Forever 39, The Jim Gerhardt Show, and The New Jersey Guys. So find us online, enter, and win. And you can listen to us on a brand new set of Dr. Dre beats.
So nj1015.com/contests.
/ If you don't know that it's / possibly you
should
be.
We'll try both and see what works.
Yes.
It's fine.
If you don't know / ask your nurse for help. In getting onto the computer.
So wait, there were 11 of these before this one. 11 See, podcasts.
He already, well, we don't know because we had an episode zero and it throws me every time.
Is this the best one so far? Be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
Jessica was just shaking her head no.
No, I said 100%.
Yeah, but you were like this.
I was nodding.
We just did that.
I think that was a positive nod.
Really?
That's what I think that was.
Yeah.
Recreate it if you can.
Let me say.
Like just.
Yeah, that counts. That's not what
she
positive.
Did. That is not what she did.
I didn't see it. I was looking at you.
That's the same kind of nod my wife gives me and when I ask her, did she have an orgasm? Sure, no. It's good. It was great. No, you can stop doing what you're doing.
So
go
it
to
took
bed.
Us 20 minutes to get to sex. That's pretty good. Typically, it goes to porn right away.
And I got to tell you something. 20 minutes is the most foreplay I've ever done in my life.
Wow.
So you guys are lucky.
Now, what is this porn you speak of? I'm not familiar.
I do a lot of research for the Christian Science Monitor. Yeah. I do a porn report every month. I don't like it, but I write about it.
Well, good for you. You know, you have to make your sacrifices and just kind of, it's what you do. And it's, hey.
How embarrassed are your daughters going to be of this podcast?
My daughters are embarrassed no matter what. Like, I could be talking about the time that I rescued a kitten from the train tracks. My kids would still be embarrassed. They're teenage girls. That's just how it works.
Yeah. How embarrassed were your kids, though? Well, maybe not embarrassed, but let's just talk dolphins for a moment.
Oh, my God.
So, dolphins. CJ, you're looking perplexed. You're not sure. Jessica, you have not heard the story yet.
I can't believe you brought this up.
I'm sorry, Adam. I thought I would get
out of here.
So I've known Adam Geller for many years. Okay. As a matter of fact, going back now, what is it, 2017? So you and I have known each other now for 13 or 14 years.
Yeah.
Adam was my pollster when I ran for office a million years ago in another career.
Okay. And so his job was to find out what people thought
of me, and it didn't come back well.
I feel like one of the people he interviewed now runs the fake Bill Spadia Twitter account.
It's possible. It's very possible.
I'll be honest with you. I hope they invent a medium by which I can make fun of them. I don't
know. So at some point between 2004 and today, you went to, was it the Bahamas?
Yeah.
And you swam with the dolphins.
I went to one of the resorts down there.
Let me just set it up that most people, they talk about dolphins in a really positive way. Like Jessica was a biology major.
And I wanted to be a dolphin trainer.
This is what she wanted to do with her life. Instead, she's hosting the podcast, which I think is far more entertaining and interesting and fulfilling.
Than living in Cancun and playing with dolphins all day?
Now you don't want that, trust me.
Watch this.
Trust me, you don't want that.
I need to say this. That explains why every time you do something good, she gives you raw fish.
Did you notice that? It makes total sense now to me.
Sushi.
It holds it up. I have to grab it. Give me that.
Please, I'm so hungry. Thank you.
And then I turn to the crowd and I...
Then you clap like, hey, he did it. Good job. So now, after hearing the story, Jessica's going to say, I made the right career choice.
So what happened was everybody said, you know, you got to swim with the dolphins. Mm-hmm. And my daughters were younger, you know, little daughters. And I researched the dolphins. I don't know if you know this about dolphins. They are crazy, man. They're totally amorous, sexual, you know, animals.
Yeah.
And they will try to have sex with pretty much anything, you know, living or dead, breathing or not breathing, you know, object or whatever.
It's such a kinship.
So I'm like, there's no way that I'm going to expose myself and my daughters, my family to these idiotic, perverted dolphins, you know? Sure. No way. So we get there, and sure enough, of course, I get talked into it, blah, 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 please, 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 please. Next thing I know, I'm putting on the wetsuit. We're going into this small pool with a bunch of other families where the dolphins, you know, they swim up to you. They explain to you that there are like 11 places you can never touch a dolphin. And I'm counting like
11.
One, yeah. Right. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, oh, girls, don't touch. You know, I'm getting all paranoid and stuff like that. Long story short, you know, the dolphins swim up to each person and they take a picture. They pose. Well, let me tell you, it's my turn. I kid you not. No dolphin would come near me. No dolphin wanted anything to do with me. And you know, it was embarrassing because my kids are going like, why him? Like, why is this the one guy? So the dolphin trainers are saying, well, sir, are you wearing any strong cologne or something like that? Yeah. And I'm like, well, cologne? I woke up. I'm supposed to come into a freaking dolphin. What am I putting on cologne and aftershave? Are you wearing any strong gold jewelry? Where? I'm wearing a wetsuit that's like, you know, clinging to my body. They finally... And you know, other families are laughing at me. Like, oh, my God, the one little girl from Texas, look, the dolphins don't want to swim with that man. So they finally get a pregnant dolphin. that's not even part of the pod. They bring her out from this other enclosure. I'm like, it's okay, really. Just go on to the next
right.
person. I'm
like
the center of attention here. They get this pregnant. No. You're going to pose with the dolphin. They get this pregnant dolphin and they bribe her literally with smelts. And you know, just to kind of you know, hang out with me long enough for a picture. Right. As soon as the picture snapped, they don't give her the smelt. She takes off. So the dolphins, again, just I'm giving off some sort of vibe they don't want. My wife is so embarrassed. She goes, "I can't believe it." I go, "Listen, this is your problem. It's not my problem." She goes, "Why is that?" The dolphins are the most sexual, amorous animals in the world. They want nothing to do with me. But you ended up marrying me. So what does that say about you?
Yeah, lower standards than a dolphin.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to say this, though, and I this is fact. Dolphins have a strong liberal bias, and this is a known fact.
I think that's
probably
true.
Knew what your profession was, and yeah, they're like, oh, that guy's a pollster for that walrus that escaped.
Well, first of all, the dolphins are among the smarter mammals. So I suspect that if they did have any political ideologies or ideological leanings, they'd be pure capitalists, right? When you think about the life of a dolphin, you're like, no, that's not yours. That shit's mine.
Right.
Right. So I'm going to be free market capitalism. You know what? You want that other thing? Go work for it. I'm not giving you mine. So you see, I think that they probably, I mean, something was keeping them from me. I don't know that it was necessarily my...
Did you get a discount?
I didn't get a discount, but for the rest of the vacation, I was a celebrity there because everybody said, hey, look, it's that guy!
It's dolphin guy.
It's the guy... I bet you the dolphins even talked about it. Like, where they're just
still
like,
talking about it. The dolphins remember that dude? Remember the guy?
Yeah, remember
no
that
hair,
guy from
that
Jersey?
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you don't know this, but when I was pregnant with you, there was a guy that they forced me to take a picture with. He was from Jersey.
Was scary. Scary.
The smelts weren't even that good, yeah. But I took him anyway.
What are smelts?
Some like raw fish kind of a thing. They were just, all I remember is just the horrific odor. Of them pulling it out
of
the pan.
Well, it depends on how they're prepared.
Let's
be fair to the smell.
Flinging it by my face and feeding this doll. And I'm like, really? It's not that big of a deal. Yeah.
That's how my mom got me a prom date. Very similar. She held up a piece of cake and whoever ran out there, like, take a picture real quick. Let's just pretend. It's very sad.
Well, you know, it worked. You went to the prom. You had a good time.
No.
You didn't.
No. Okay. I stayed home and I said, you know, one day I'm going to be on enough Wellbutrin that this won't matter to me. And
it doesn't. You're still smiling.
Look
you're
how
so
happy.
I am. He's so happy. It's amazing.
Nothing can break through this shell of pharmaceutical happiness.
Better living through chemistry.
Absolutely.
So will you wean off of the Wellbutrin or
never?
No?
I'm
never like
it.
You'll be
I'm
in your 60s.
It. Yeah. I am. So like I'm at the like legal maximum of what you can get. You know, because
but
my
even
doc,
like a sip of wine can't do it.
I don't know. I don't think it would kill me. But the doctor gave me one of those like, hey, man, don't.
I don't mean to be an enabler.
No. The doctor's like, don't drink with this. And again, I was like, yeah, right. And he was like, no, seriously. You're at the legal limit of like how much Wellbutrin I can give you without like killing an adult. And I was like, oh, do I need that? And he was like, yes, you most definitely need that. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm in a good place.
But what kind of diet did you do? Did you just stop eating altogether?
I just limit my calories.
Because Adam went on the whole caveman thing. You did that for a while. Remember that?
Well, I ended
remember
up eating a village. It didn't work.
Well, as Hillary once said, it takes a village to
feed. They're no longer with us, that village.
So we'll have to bring our sponsor, Vinnie Brand, and the Stress Factory on with Adam.
Yeah.
They had a fight on air.
What did they fight about?
They fought about the gubernatorial race because Vinny, who is somewhat conservative, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Yeah. He
was screaming at me about a wall at one point. He was like,
he's all about the wall.
And I can say
he likes the Democratic frontrunner for governor.
Okay.
Does he like him or does he just accept him?
I think he accepts him because he's his neighbor. Yeah. And I said to him, I said, you know, if I were neighbors with the guy that I disagreed with, they would pretty much know.
Right.
Like, I don't have an issue with disagreeing with neighbors or friends or family members.
No.
Like, I throw political bombs at Thanksgiving. I don't mind.
This guy running is super rich. Is Vinny super rich?
I'm thinking Vinny's doing okay.
Yeah,
if his neighbors are Phil Murphy. What do you think about him?
Moneybags
Murphy? I
didn't
even think about that.
That's maybe. Literally his nickname, Moneybags Murphy.
Moneybags Murphy.
That's
is
his nickname?
Well, we gave it to him.
He's like a Goldman Sachs multi-gazillionaire and he wants to raise taxes. I told Vinny, you know, Vinny's like, he's going to be the next governor. I go, no, he's not. Vinny goes, if he's going to be the next governor, and when he wins, I want Adam Geller to kiss my shoes. I go, when he becomes governor, he's going to raise your taxes so much you're not going to be able to afford shoes.
Oh, now Vinny,
that's good.
That was a decent Vinny impression.
Oh, you want? I could give you a Vinny impression.
Yeah.
You know what? Do you have any Wellbutrin I can borrow real quick? I'm going to need the Wellbutrin. It's going to alter my voice where I could do the Vinny impression.
I actually have a U-Haul that goes behind my car that is filled with Wellbutrin. Go out and grab yourself a handful, man.
But you and Vinny disagreed almost civilly, talked over each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Jersey discussion. Afterwards, we hugged and we shared a donut.
Like a New York City discussion.
Yeah,
exactly. Similar.
So, wait a second. Here's what I don't understand. If he's money bags, right?
Yeah.
And he made a lot of money in capitalism, doesn't that sort of jive with the right-wing point of view on things?
You would
things,
think.
You know?
But yet, he just wants to raise everybody's taxes and increase, like, stupid, goofy spending and take from one and give to another. You would think a capitalist like that would know better, dude. Capitalism worked for you. It could work for other people. Why don't you let it?
Adam got worked up about that the way I got worked up about GTA.
Oh, Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto. In the last episode, where my voice rate. What happened? Did I go past the red? Is that what happened?
You went off the charts.
Was it off the charts? Yes. I should not yell into the microphone. I have this problem. We Skype with guests on Chasing News, and I think because they're so far away that I should raise my voice. So I find myself sometimes yelling at the monitor.
Yeah. No, I do that when I try to talk to you through the TV, Bill. When I'm sitting at home, I'm like, no, Bill, I disagree with you. We have a Republican here, so I want to ask you this. I have a theory. I have a great idea, and I want to get your thoughts on this. So here's my idea. I want 0% tax for everything in life.
Okay.
And I want 100% estate tax. So here's my idea. Meritocracy 100%. You die, everything goes to the center pot again. When you live, you keep everything. You just can't give it to your kids. So this idea of meritocracy, where you get these rich kids getting to do whatever.
Jay may be a communist.
My whole idea is, no, it's not communism. 0% tax in life, 100% tax. You can't give shit to your kids. That's my thinking.
Well, first of all, if is anybody here a medical professional? I just want to check Jay's blood real quick. It'll only take a second.
The closest is Jessica's biology major.
No, yeah.
That's the degree in biology is the closest we come in this podcast.
You know, I think that somewhere down the, you know, as I think about this, what would happen is if the wrong person gets elected, like Phil Murphy, he would mandate the murder of New Jersey citizens because he's going to need that money that you're not giving to them when they're alive. Well, so he's going to say, you know what? I'd like to start with the, you know, sort of Republican towns. Go where the Republicans are. Kill them.
Here's
we need
saying.
The money.
If you wouldn't last 10 minutes, you'd be out.
Oh, I'll fight. No, I'll first. Fight. Listen, Black, you know, he said one thing about me. Dude, I will not go down without a fight.
If
I'm going to go down, I'm taking some of those others with me.
If Trump care gets passed, you won't have to worry. People just be dying. But the point is this. If I have no problem with the idea of a meritocracy, I love the idea of a meritocracy, but I think if you get started with an advantage, it's no longer a meritocracy. So you get to keep everything when you're alive. Everything
you
get.
Has to stay outside.
So when you say start with an advantage,
we'll not be allowed to listen to this particular
episode. When you say start with an advantage, let's talk about that.
Sure.
Do people are the only people who have succeeded in whatever definition you want to use for success? Is it because they start with an advantage?
No, that's not the only reason.
Okay.
But I would say that an advantage just in the name.
Do you know people who start who start advantaged and then go on to become utter failures?
Well,
I can think of a few.
But I'm thinking, like, for instance, the Sam Walton kids, each of which is a billionaire in the top 20 list of billionaires. None of them did anything. Their dad did everything. So let their dad spend whatever he wants and keep all of his money. And then when he dies, it goes back to the pot. Why do they get to keep it? In capitalism, they've done nothing. They've done absolutely nothing except exist.
Part of the American dream, as we come to discuss it, as we come to define it, is what? To work hard, to succeed, to do a little bit better than your parents, so that your kids could do a little bit better than you. So, you know, I don't know that the American dream would necessarily say when the person passes away, it's an automatic reset.
So if I just may rebut, F our children. I think that's what I'm trying to say. F them. Who cares? They're our kids. Let them work for it.
Well, that's certainly a philosophy that I think.
This is why millennials don't vote. Because not only did the millennial tune out, But the honorary millennial tuned out. Too detailed. I don't want to speak for you, Jessica. Did you?
Adam does not know how to respond to that.
Do you agree? I all of a sudden it got too detailed. I'm like, I don't know. I don't agree, but I'm not going to engage.
I just decided my life could probably be better without this part of the conversation.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, I just love talking about it because my theory.
Get this 5 minutes back.
I just love the
Jessica,
idea.
I can't get the five minutes back.
I'm telling you.
It was spent. It's gone. It's taken away. It's been ripped out of me.
I need to go hug Keen.
Bill,
should go hug Keen. Bill, it's the Fremen of Doom, Bill.
You know what
the
I think?
Water
I
gets
think
passed
Jay,
back.
I had no idea. This comedy thing is a ruse. He's going to run.
Jay, I would just suggest to you, and everybody could run and whatever, but you have to have a better slogan than F our children, okay?
No, I would use
because
the actual
because that's really
F-word.
What you're...
I would use the actual...
Can we use that here? We're already
pollster,
can we use
as a pollster, I'm telling you, it wouldn't play in the focus group.
F our...
The F part.
Yeah, it almost sounds like an acronym for our children or something.
Yeah,
F our children.
F our children. I am F our children.
F our children. I'm in F-ing our children. No, it's just, I love the idea of a pure meritocracy. That's all. I just like the idea. You kill it, you keep it. And if you don't kill it, you get killed.
The reset button is where you're going to lose people. I think that a pure meritocracy is part of what we do. It's part of why we encourage people to study, to work hard, to sacrifice, to do those things. But you do it so that you not only can advance your own self, but your kids. We're starting to lose Jessica again.
Yep,
we're starting to lose Spadey again. Let's talk about IPAs.
Right. Yeah,
let's
we go back to craft beer, please? let me just ask, though. I know part of the polling process is you've done in the past, you've done focus groups, you bring people in, you kind of get a feel for it. What would happen if you had a Jay Black in that focus group? And all of a sudden you start talking about, you know, F the children. Would it be like, okay, we're done here?
So it
or
depends.
Does that come into account?
If I knew that I was going to have Jay Black in a focus group, I would you know recruit a certain type of respondent. Maybe people who are a little bit less knowledgeable on issues. Maybe people who without much of an education or maybe illiterate.
Yeah.
And I think he would do
actually,
very well.
Non-speaking mongoloids. Non-speaking mongoloids. They're the ones that I deal best with.
So it depends. You know.
No, I'm gonna say
Jay
this.
Jay has more questions for you. Go ahead, Jay.
I've said things to my therapist where at the end I'll go, but you must hear that a lot, and he'll go, no. No, I'll be honest with this.
Yeah, no, literally, actually, the first time.
Literally, never heard that. Actually,
I've known this 26 years, and I see him writing stuff down, and I'm like, are you putting together like, am I a case study in a book? And he's like, you might be. You might be JB.
Really?
You know, when one day, because there's a lot of issues going on here, and I go, that's nice. That's nice to know. And listen, I don't necessarily think we should F our children. What I'm saying is that this idea that there are people who are billionaires because their father was a billionaire. They don't deserve anything.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I want people. I'm a capitalist. I want people to get what they deserve. But the people who are billionaires because their father was, that's capital that should go back for the actual merit. People with merit. Meritous people.
What was the word you made up? What was the other word?
Meritocratic?
Liberal something.
No.
It's the name of our last podcast.
I know. Now I forget. It was a great word you made up. It wasn't a real word.
I forget.
What is now? It was like strategery.
Strategery,
It was better.
Is
strategery not a real word? Oh, sorry.
He's sounding a little like Senator Cory Booker, who, if you notice the other day, kind of got tongue-tied because he got so angry at Jeff Sessions that he could not...
Or was he trying to be careful because, you know, he's worked with Jeff Sessions. He's so conflicted in this thing.
I know he is.
You know, so I think part of that was he didn't quite know how to handle it because maybe he's conflicted. Maybe part of it is that he likes Jeff Sessions and he doesn't believe some of the nonsense that he's supposed
to
say right now.
Do you think, I think a politician running for office would be a good guest on the podcast.
Sure. He could respond to my F the Children platform. Where he stands.
Could be ugly. I don't know that they do it.
It would almost be like a litmus test. Like if they get out of here in one piece,
if they survive this.
If not, they may announce their resignation the next day. I've decided I have better things to do than run.
One-time gift of $5,000 you can give to your child. How about that?
Oh, I was going to say to your podcast hosts to come on. No?
No. You guys get nothing.
it would lead to, I think.
No, I mean the politicians would come on and pay us. No,
I think under Jay Black's law or rule, if you will, or way, that I would give it, I don't know, maybe 4 to 5 months before we had civil unrest.
I think days.
I may be generous.
Yeah, I think days. So during Superstorm Sandy, when the power was out,
mm-hmm.
it took all of 2 days before people were stabbing each other in gas lines.
Yes.
It doesn't take long. I almost stabbed the guy after day four,
and I'm normally a pretty mm-hmm. mellow guy.
Yeah.
So I get it.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
You went all dolphin on those guys.
I was driving up here. There was a light sprinkling of rain. I murdered 4 people. Because you never know what's coming Butrin. I was happy while I was doing it. I mean, Butrin, I think, was working.
Jessica, we've gone off topic.
I keep mispronouncing
it. Yeah. Yeah, we have.
Way off.
I actually put my notebook away. My clipboard is away.
Did you have you had something written down?
Yeah, I had some talking points, but...
You want to share them, or
can we do like a fast, you know, Jessica, give us a couple of boom, boom, boom.
Fast round.
Yeah, all right. This is from Jay's New York Post article he sent us.
Oh,
the article.
Yeah, what did I send?
Millennials are ruining terrible products.
Oh, yeah, because they don't buy good stuff. They like good stuff. They don't like crappy stuff, right? Like Budweiser. They drink like craft beer.
So you're saying they've ruined Budweiser.
Well, they're not selling as much, so the millennials have made it like not cool.
Yeah.
But in a way, that's good because the private ownership of Budweiser is going to lose everything after they die anyway. So
it doesn't matter in Jay's world.
Yeah.
Listen, I grew up on Budweiser. I grew up on really cheap beer. But I do have to say that those IPAs, they're really good.
They are good if you appreciate good taste. But I think the point of the article was millennials. Well, I don't know. I didn't read the article. But as
I still have
an opinion.
You had your assistant draw up a summary of the title.
I just looked at the cover and drew a conclusion. They don't necessarily appreciate the good taste of craft beer. They just think it's cooler to spend more on something and say, look what
that is probably an example.
I paid $19 for this beer. It's obviously better than what you're drinking.
You pay more, but it's got more alcohol content in it.
All right, there's that too.
Well, that's the first thing Speedy looks at. He goes, "Oh, what's the content of this?"
It
one?
Is under 10.0.
Yeah.
How does it blend with pork roll?
See, I'll say this.
How does it go with pork roll?
I believe that there was a type of conspicuous consumerism that boomers did, where it's like, "Look at my Mercedes, aren't I great?" That has been co-opted by millennials in a what they consider a positive way.
Yeah.
Which is, look at my coffee. It's $11 because it's free trade. The beans, everybody who picked this bean was individually interviewed for how well they felt while they were doing it. So it's just conspicuous consumerism retread as a millennial.
I would love to add to that because I think you're onto something. And I think that part of the problem is when you talk about these types of things for millennials, that what millennials have lost is the difference between being famous and being talented. Mm. You know, there can be very, very talented and funny actors and actresses who are good at their craft, who are good at what they do, and who achieve fame through that. But then there are people who are just famous for being idiots. And I think that the millennials worship that kind of person.
Yeah.
So when they see that person drinking some dopey drink or whatever, that's the thing that they want to do and put it on Twitter, which makes Jay angry and sad, we know.
Sure. Yeah.
But they want to tweet out those pictures and they want to say, I'm just like this vacuous, dumb, you know, but famous person without any talent whatsoever.
Well, it's my feeling to cap off on that. You know, my buddy Chris, who lives in Seattle, was telling me that there was a protest of some sort going on. And I was like, that makes me infuriated. And he was like, why? Isn't it good that they're out there protesting? I don't know what they were protesting. They were angry about something. Right. I was like, look down right now. How many people are taking selfies right now? If you go to a protest and take a selfie, you're not protesting. You're
You're there to save the world and show everyone, look what I did.
Right. I think it's a lot harder to do actual difficult things, which is like actually get involved in government and try to change things from the inside out, whatever your opinions are. But to just go and see and be seen, that's where I get annoyed with the movement.
Well, you know, a lot of times when I'm doing a polling briefing for the Republicans on Capitol Hill, I will take a selfie. So that maybe I'll just
get there. Yeah.
Guys, can you just hold on 1 second? Let me just snap. Okay, here. Get behind me. Hurry up. Get behind me.
Are you being sarcastic?
Smile.
But, But as it's but possible. Wait, as no you were one saying,
would actually do that, right?
He's actually Snapchatting it.
You were a Trump pollster, or are a Trump pollster. I don't know if you're
still. I did polling for the presidential.
But isn't
campaign.
That one of the things that they were talking about with Trump was that there were more people who were willing to say that they weren't for Trump in public, but privately they felt that way because of the fact that, you know, he was seen as a negative force publicly. So that they, you know, the polls always seem to be down on him.
Jay Black, I just fell in love with you because.
Happens
because it's just it's weird the way it happens.
Jessica, do you see what we've just witnessed here?
Because mm-hmm. what happened, I mean, that was part of the polling that we did on the campaign. What we discovered is a lot.
We've been watching this for the past 45 minutes. This happened.
It's highly entertaining.
It's been happening.
Let me just make my point. The polls. A lot of the reason that the public polls were wrong is because people did not want to admit that they were going to vote for Trump. We came up in the campaign. Some of the stuff I did the polling in Michigan and Wisconsin and other states. We said, you know, do you know of somebody who is voting for Trump but just not saying so publicly? We got so many people off the charts saying sure. Yes. When you ran back and you did the analyses, you said, you know who these people are? These are people, you know, there were two different people. Like the blue collar people, they would tell you that they're voting for Trump. They didn't care. You know what? You want to call me a racist? You want to get in an argument with me? I don't care. The higher education white people, higher income white people, they didn't want to get in an argument. They didn't want to get in a squabble. They didn't want to have their property damaged.
Sure.
So they didn't want to say it. But they were voting for Trump too. That's how he won in those things. Same thing with the job approvals. Now we'll say to somebody, even if you say you don't like Trump, are there some things that he's doing that you do like? The segment of people who say yes. You know, you have to really analyze them and saying, are they just not saying that they approve because they don't want to get in a fight? They don't want to be called names? Or is it because they really don't approve? You can separate those
people. We're shifting into a new world, and we're already there to a large degree where our public and our private life have been overlapped with each other. And we still don't know how to reconcile what we say publicly versus what we say privately and where the real self lies. Because it used to be, you might not say at work how you feel politically, but you would talk about it at home. But now Facebook and Twitter exist.
Talk about it constantly.
You talk about it constantly. Yeah. And you have to be cognizant of, do I live in a culture where if I say I'm pro-Trump or pro-Hillary or whatever, when I go into work tomorrow, how much shit am I going to hear from my
peers?
And
that's one of the reasons why the polls are struggling. Because unless you're asking smart follow-up questions, unless you're really kind of taking it seriously, if you're just asking the usual dopey stuff that you've been asking for 25, 30 years, you're not going to get necessarily the honest responses.
And I also think some people have been shamed into not voting or not speaking out because they're afraid of that. There's always that one or two people out of 100 that have such a strong opinion that they're going to lecture you or anyone that they hear with an opinion.
Sure.
So my take, just knowing millennials and working with millennials, that they don't want to get into a lengthy discussion about policy. They don't want to go back and have to reference and defend their position. They may have an instinct. They read something. They heard something. I kind of like this guy. I'm going to vote this way. But I don't want to share it with you because you're going to try to pick it apart. And then I have to defend it. And now I'm in a political battle. And I don't want to go there.
I noticed.
Is that close?
I know friends who grew up in the military and they will go on and on and on about Hillary. And I'm like, I don't even want to talk to you about it.
I'm sorry, Bill. I tuned out. Can you just repeat what you just said?
And there you go. Exactly.
Yeah. One of the things that drove me nuts about this last election was on my liberal side of things. And that's majority of my friends are liberal. They would go on and on about, you know, I would say, you know, there's a current of angry white dudes in this country. And they would say, but they have no reason to be angry. And I would say, yeah, but they're still angry. And that's how you're going to lose this election is if you don't focus on the fact that there are angry white people.
Yeah, but just to say, well, you know, some people would say they have no right to be angry. But if you're talking about like jobs, if you're talking about jobs leaving, if you're talking about shitty economy, if you're talking about stuff like that, and you're saying, what can you do for me? And the Hillary campaign, I'm not saying Democrats, okay, I want to be clear, but the Hillary campaign was much more involved in cultural touch stones and touch points and stuff
lost
like that.
On that
had to do with stuff that those guys, it just didn't resonate with them.
Right.
So there is an anger when you're told your whole life that a system is going to work for you if you work for it, and then you find out that was just a bunch of bull. That's where that anger was coming from.
But what I would say is, but what drove me nuts was even they were so. ensconced in their ideology. It was, they couldn't get past, we kept saying, but they don't have a right to be angry. And I would say, right, it doesn't matter. Well, you still need to chat
Jay,
with
to
them.
That point, that guy who's angry because he's in manufacturing, lost his job, has been looking for work for 2 weeks or 2 years even, right, he's angry and doesn't necessarily want to get into a political debate with someone who says, listen, you should not be angry.
Right. Exactly.
Let me explain to you why you shouldn't be
and
angry.
And let me tell you
what
why.
What are you talking about? I'm out of work.
It's this, you know, this, and it's this, right, this very East Coast elite or West Coast, like, it's really about the, you know, the trans world or something like that, that they just couldn't relate to, and they didn't understand, you know, if you can't talk to me about jobs for myself, jobs for my kids, can I retire?
Right,
you
I'm
know,
tuning my, you out.
I have two kids who are out of work too, they're adults, you know, this kind of a thing.
See, this is where you lose me, because I would have said to them, F the children.
You, that's what you would, now I just, I want to point out, I am one of those guys that if I hear something that I think I should point out, I will not be afraid to email you several articles of research. So we had a situation the other
happened
day.
Happened today.
Happened today. Was it today? Yeah, it was. It may have been. The term bay. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Yeah.
B-A-E. Right. Which I looked up and did a little research. Several articles, one in Esquire, the other on Urban Dictionary, I admit it, said that bay stood for beyond, no, before anyone else.
For anyone else. Okay.
You like that? The millennials objected and said, no. It's just babe. Like bay with no B.
Yeah, it's babe without a B. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Babe without a B, I see.
Right.
So, no.
So I argue that, and I said, but there's another side.
But
there
that's an after-the-fact acronym for certain. That is not a before-the-fact acronym.
I'm not 100% sure. See, now, Jay, I'm sending you articles. That's it. But, you are now going to have to deal with all the research
that I did.
But
what is it, like 75-year-old Charles F. Pearson Esquire writing about bay? This is like when Tom Wolfe did a book about college students, and he's like, used the word mons to talk about vagina.
Wait, so I came
500 times.
Wait, what was my...
Mons Volta.
Did you see the face? Did you see the face?
Tom Wolfe wrote the book. I didn't write the book.
Look at the face.
I am Charlotte
that Jessica just made.
Oh, you know what? I read the electric Kool-Aid acid test. I was thinking, I don't remember seeing that, but different book.
I am Charlotte Simmons is the book
I made
I'm
up
about.
One. What did I say? Lit. I came up with it very quickly, too.
Wait, yeah, why?
Lit is a big thing.
But that's not an acronym for anything. Bay is.
It is.
I think bay is an acronym. Like, I think the millennials are wrong to say, no, it's just bay without
a B. No, wait, what did I say lit was?
But you created something for it?
I did. No, I tweeted it out. Now I can't remember.
Ham lit AF.
Lit AF.
Yeah,
lit AF. Leprechauns in transit, always F-wording.
What was the issue with bay, though?
I don't know why it came up.
It's babe without the B.
No,
that's what
it is. It's no, before anyone else. Before anyone this else. Is my person yeah, is my before bae. Anyone else.
Like my bestie, thank my bestie, Jessica. My best friend. Right,
I am doubtful of this.
Yes. No, but as Jessica an English teacher. Is a legit. Oh, that's what it was. It was you made the word up about legitimacy. Legitimacy.
Legitly.
Jessica is legitly a millennial.
And I use the word bae, and I know how to use it.
Do you use that for your boyfriend?
It's all capital letters. All before caps. Anyone else.
So, right. No, but I get that. That is my understanding.
So that,
that
backs up what I'm saying.
Oh, so that makes sense. But listen, because my wife happened. Calls me a knob, which is after nine other people. So that makes total sense now that she calls me a knob. I get it. I finally get it.
Enough. I like that. Jessica was smart enough, though, not to engage in the conversation.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what you guys were arguing about, but I still got the emails that I didn't want.
I did.
Pages
I,
and
I
pages of research.
Emails.
I do think
I that, thought, you know, I wanted to back up what I knew her opinion was already.
But here's the thing.
That now she's got the research to defend the position.
We live in an alternate facts world where I can, whatever you send me anything.
Yeah.
Send me that the War of 1812 was about impressment of American sailors by the British. I will find you an article somewhere that blames Obama.
Well.
Obama time traveled to 1812.
Right? Well, yeah. I think we established it was Obama's fault, right?
We all know that.
If you're going to send factual information to Jay, and I think you should, just make sure it's not coming from the New York Times because they were proved to not be factual.
Right.
But I definitely, you know, other than that, I'm all for...
Make sure it's a Newsmax link because I think that's
Breitbart.
Dead on.
Breitbart, please. Thank you.
We all know that is dead down the center. Those people, not a single issue at Breitbart.
No links from CNN, whatever you
do. No CNN, no New York Times.
Can we find one link in common between the left and the right that we could just be happy with? Is there anything anywhere?
Yes, I write a blog on BillSpadia.com, and I think you'll find that is factual and intense. And you'll learn something.
www.fthechildren.com.
And we don't like dolphins.
In like 6 months, have I? I should probably not plug that.
my political action group.
My tweets at Bill Spadia. Check my tweets. You honestly do not need any other news.
I follow at Bill Spadia with an I, and guy. I'm going to tell you something. He is dead right about so many things.
Do you see the picture he used of me?
No.
Have you seen the account?
No, I'm gonna look for
Jessica. Follows.
Remember when Joey Chestnut was on the show?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Joey Chestnut's my hero.
I know. So it's the Joey Chestnut competition when you're eating pork roll sandwiches.
So my hair is like sticking up crazy. I had just downed 7 pork roll sandwiches, and I've got the t-shirt on over the shirt. I'm all disheveled. I look like an animal.
How many did Joey Chestnut? I don't mean to.
Oh,
over 100, I think.
Was it? I think it was like 50. Oh. But it felt like 100.
I feel like it was over 100.
It was a lot.
If you get Joey Chestnut on and you get him on again, I just want to make sure Bill Spadia with an I. Make sure you're watching Chasing. You could get a new photo of Bill Spadia with an E doing another eating contest with Joey Chestnut.
I'm not doing it again.
You realize, Bill, that Bill Spadia with an I, there's almost a 100% chance he's masturbated to you. There's almost a 100% chance. I'm going to tell you something right now. Almost a 100% chance an angry watching you on Chasing News. There, Jay.
This was going so well too before the.
I'm telling you,
he
dresses as you and dances.
May
just
I
like,
just request because as a co-host of this podcast,
I'm Bill Spadia.
He's going to keep going, Jessica. He's going to keep going. Please help me out.
I don't encourage him. Don't laugh.
But the dance is really, really into the dance.
Oh my
I'm just
God.
Glad I'm not sitting where Adam's sitting right now.
Wow,
Adam, you don't even know what to say with that. Neither do I.
I'm really close to the dance.
Speechless, and I thought this hour was going so well. How was it? 2 hours? Wow. How
Bill
long
Spadia
have I been
with
here?
An eye?
Like six.
I'm telling you, it's Bill Spadia with an eye is listening to this podcast right now. You know what he's doing? How did he know? Bill Spadia with an eye. I see you.
Can
I know listen, what you are.
I realize there are 3 co-hosts here, so we each have an equal say.
Okay.
My question is, can we leave this out of the title?
No, I believe it has to be Bill Spadia with an eye masturbates to Bill Spadia with an
I,
E.
Oh God, it's just
with Adam Geller.
It's bad. You
this. Adam Geller has nothing. Listen, I just had the bad luck to be part of this. What is
How
this?
Did you get
what
into,
do we call this? A podcast?
This is a podcast.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's. We need
to
break.
Take a call.
All right. On that note, God, I wish we could end on something else. I don't know.
Well, Bill Spadia with an eye just ended, so it's all right.
Thank you for making that awkward, uncomfortable, and yes, thank you, Jay. All right, this is Speaking Millennial. Remember, rate us, even if it's bad. Like, if you're as upset as I am about the last 3 minutes, I will be rating the podcast myself, saying,
"Don't
listen
to
this."
Look how happy I am, Bill. Look, I'm so happy. I just thought of that.
This Butrin's got to stop. We got to like ply him with some whiskey or something, don't you think?
Yeah.
Something's got to change. All right, I am Bill Spadia. Follow me at Bill Spadia.
At Chasing Jeff Nutt.
And Jay, what do you want to plug?
F the Children. F the Children, my Twitter account.
Go ahead, Adam.
At Bill Spadia with an I. That's me. Come on, watch me.
You know, I blocked it.
At Adam H. Geller, G-E-L-L-E-R. And do follow me. I probably won't be coming back to do these podcasts. So, follow me.
Adam
we'll
be starting his own podcast.
I also run Adam F. Geller, the Adam Geller parody Twitter account.
All right, we're back with, we think, Steve Hofstetter in the next episode.
Yes.
And go to thestressfactory.com, stressfactory.com. Get your tickets. Great comics, Vinny Brand. He's a friend and he is a sponsor.
Thank you, Vinny.